Welcome to today's episode of Journey to There, the invigorating podcast that's exploring the intersection between personal and business growth. And now your hosts, Tracy DeForge and Russ Reba.
Tracy, you're on a small plane with your best friend. I started this with your husband, but I changed it to your best friend.
You're on a girls trip.
You're on a small... I don't think you're going to like this one. You're on a small plane with your best friend. There's one pilot. It's a small plane. One pilot, two parachutes on the plane. Engine is failing. Pilot takes one of the parachutes and jumps out. He's kind of a butthead. What do you do? Who gets the remaining parachute?
Oh, my God. That question is so completely unfair. I don't even know what to say.
Ooh, girls trip.
Girls trip. Now not so much. BFF gone out the door. Maybe she's going out the door with the parachute.
I was going to say,
technically didn't answer.
I thought maybe you pushed her and took the parachute.
All right, I just like to plead the fifth on my answer. That's all I got to say.
think about that for a second. Along with Trixie DeForge, I'm Russ Reba. We are meeting you at the intersection between personal and business growth, or in this case, the intersection between a parachute and free fall. This is the Journey to There radio show online at journeytothere.com. We're on iTunes, SoundCloud, many other platforms. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast. Give us a rating. Download past episodes. You can do that right on the website, journeytothere.com. And get on this train of incredible inspiration, especially if you're an entrepreneur. Okay, so you pushed her out. Is that what we're going with?
Actually, like I said, I'm going to plead the fifth and move on. But in the vein of that, what I will say is, according to air flight attendant speaking introductions, they often say to put the oxygen mask on yourself before others. So, hey, you draw your
introductions. You know, I was going to, because it reminds me, those little safety cards on the airliners. When I was younger, I was reading the part that says, and I'm not quoting exactly, in the event of cabin pressure failure, take an oxygen mask first before you give it to your small, helpless child. And I thought, my gosh, how selfish can you be as a parent? How mean? But then I realized you give the kid the oxygen mask, he's breathing fine, he looks over and mom's passed out and says, what do I do now, dad, mom?
Well, and actually, I was also thinking, too, that maybe, because I'm the ultimate diplomat, there might be a hybrid. Maybe we could jump out together with the same parachute.
I knew you were going to come up with that. The what is it? They made out of what? Polyester? Not polyester. That would be deadly.
And fashionably challenged.
What were the parachute pants made of that we wore in the 80s?
Now who gets to date themselves? I feel so much better now. It's you, not me.
Is it nylon? Or
no, I think they were like some sort of disgusting poly blend. I don't know. But anyway, our topic for today is a question that I think clearly I need to answer. And it is the practice of self-care being selfish? Translated, why being selfish is good for you.
Okay, so she would push her out the window, out the door. And take
I'm
the parachute.
I'm just laying out the topic and saying it's probably going to be a good thing for me to hear and give feedback on and share and all those things that I do on this show.
Well, the show would go away if you didn't push her out the door and take the parachute.
Now, well, that is one good point in my favor.
Now do you see the reason why I changed it from your husband to your best friend, where we didn't really name anybody?
Yes, because I've got a 50-50 shot of who's most likely to hear this episode. So, you know, I don't know. It could go either way. But anyway, I always like to explain how I choose these topics, because I don't know if it's interesting for anyone else as it is for me. But to me, I choose these topics because it's a direct result of something, if you will, being put in front of my face or my mind or my, you know, literally a person in front of my path who gives me some sort of insight or message that I feel like I need to hear at the time. Mm-hmm. And I was, I've been away prior to between our last recording and this recording. I was away for a few days, which was me practicing some self-care, theoretically. Mm-hmm. And so when I came back and I was, getting ready for our show and everything, I opened up a resource book that I use, and out comes like a ripped up magazine clipping about self-care. And then I went and pulled some notes of something that I was working on before I left. And it was all about how important self-care is in your business and how the That's such an important criteria for leaders who are really successful. And so you got to see where this is going. I was like, okay, I just got back from a trip where I did my very best to practice some self-care. And I will say it was progress, not perfection. And then all these like rippings and clippings and quotes and articles start popping up about self-care versus selfishness. And then I thought, hey, let's talk about that today.
Now, you've heard the expression, especially from small business owners, or maybe I'm the only one that says it all the time, is my business is, it's my baby. Now, mind right. you, I have my own children that are actually yep. living, breathing humans. And of course, they are much more important in my eyes than my business. But you treat your business as your baby. You've got to handle that business with kid gloves. And it goes back to before you give your business the oxygen mask, you've got to take some oxygen for yourself because you're running that business and the business is going to fail without you.
Yes. And the thing that I guess really resonates with me is I think most often, and again, I'm going to go down that gender path for just a minute, but I do not think this is gender exclusive. However, that's my disclaimer. I'm just going to speak to it because I am the gender.
Okay.
So
you're one gender.
I'm one gender who believes that this is possibly a little bit more female dominant, but perhaps not because you've shown me differently in the past. But I do think that there is something about females who have this whole guilt trip thing going when they feel like that they are stopping down to do something for themselves. And whether it's mom guilt or whether it's business owner guilt or, God forbid, the combination of both, the idea of actually saying out loud to someone, I'm going to take a couple of hours today and I'm going to go
get
take
a
walk, or I'm going to even, you know, for us ladies, Russ, now I know you have a tendency to shave your head, but for us, getting our hair done is kind of a big deal.
Okay.
Like we go, we sit in the chair, we read magazines.
Let me stop you and pull the gender thing out of it, because while we might not get our nails and toes done or, you know, getting my bald scalp massaged, there are other things that males indulge in to, you know, have some self-care, whether it be, you know, there's the extreme of, I don't know if it's self-care or midlife crisis, where, you know, you get the sports car. That's a big indulgence.
That's a midlife crisis. That's not a self-care.
No, but think about it this way. There are many people that are on a much higher financial level where, you know, for you, maybe, you know, a massage or a spa getaway might be equivalent to, you know, a guy, you know, indulging in a sports car because he has to do some self-care. Do you really need that massage? Not necessarily, but it's something that makes you feel fulfilled, correct?
Yes, and I am so happy, actually, that you brought this whole topic up in terms of choices of self-care and what they mean in relation to like a monetary-driven motive, because at the end of the day, taking care of yourself first consistently is, to me, the real true meaning of self-care, because like we were talking about originally, if you have nothing left to give, then you're not going to have anything to give. And that means to yourself and to others. And that's why, in terms of this episode and in terms of how I try to live my life, it's really about consistent efforts of self-care, whereas the nice sort of bursts, if you will, of like the new car or the shopping excursion or the massage every now and then or a spa day, those are really awesome, like little kind of explosions, if you will, of self-care along
right.
the way. But I really also think that a lot of times people minimize the importance of even being mindful of taking care of themselves on a daily basis. I mean, I used to do a workshop that was all focused around startups, and in this case, it was specifically focused towards women. And there were certain things that were driven through this workshop that were all about, like, you know, starting up your business, that were really tactical. But at the end of every workshop, there was homework, and it was that you had to do something nice for yourself every single day between when you left the workshop to the following week when you came back. And there were other homework assignments as well. And I found consistently almost every single workshop that I did, and this was over the course of 10 years doing the same workshop, is that the women would come back and they would have no problem saying, I looked up my competitors, I created my budget, all of those things. But when I would purposefully and directly ask them, okay, great, so what were the things that you did nice for yourself? I would get like crickets, and they were apologizing for it. They were feeling bad about it. They didn't make time for it. And the ones that did were the ones that seemed to be, you know, instead of crickets, they were chirping like birds, because they were like, I've never done this before, and this was so great, and it was just this little thing. It didn't cost money, and their level of happiness was just so obviously more excitable than the people who had come back with the tactical homework. And that says a lot.
Let me throw something at you, because this in my mind is the self-help that kind of crashed on me over the past week. So here I am. I'm this person that used to go to the gym 3 to 4 times a week, and I try to run 2 miles a day at least 5 days a week. I've been getting so busy, and that's a good thing. Especially one of the things that's gotten me so busy is this radio show. So so I've gotten so busy, and I'm so particular, and so I'm going back to the perfectionist episode that we did. I'm such a perfectionist that I want not on time delivery, but I want super speedy delivery of the services that my company offers. So with that, I was unable to juggle the business and taking care of the kids and taking care of myself. So of course, the first thing I sacrificed was myself. So what happened was, wasn't able to get the runs in, hadn't been to the gym in 2 weeks, and that's just crazy for me. And I actually, the gym that I belong to is a little too far away. And so there's a gym that's closer. So I figured I'm going to try this out. I went to the gym that's closer to buy me some more time. I had 40 minutes to get a workout in. I was trying to squeeze 2 weeks of a missed workout into 40
Ouch.
Minutes.
Okay. Ouch.
So 2 days ago, I looked like a robot. I could not turn my head. I had to turn my whole body to look right or left, and I was in pain. So now before that, before going to the gym, I was getting so stressed out, because it's like, I got to get to the gym. I got to get to the gym. I got to take care of myself. Not I have to get to the gym because of health, but that is my outlet. That is how I take care of myself, and I wasn't doing it. So now I'm at the point where I've got to figure something out. Something's got to be sacrificed.
Because you're cranky. Uh-huh. You're really cranky, because I wasn't going to say when I started the show that one of the reasons I was doing this topic today is because you've been cranky.
I've been cranky. You're the one that's going to toss your best friend out of a plane. And I'm cranky.
Well, the studio's on the ground floor, so I don't really have an option there. But I completely relate to what you're saying. And I have an interesting dilemma, of course, that's sort of the flip side of that. So when I was gone for the last few days, and I'm starting to scratch my arm again and like bounce on my seat, because I was really trying to take some downtime. And I really did. But I started getting cranky. So I was gone, I guess, like all total travel time and everything, I was gone about 4.5 days.
Now, before you left, you said that you were not going to take your work with you.
I know. I did say that. And I didn't. And I actually didn't. So like in terms of like the laptop computer, but you know, technology these days, like you can
I'm looking at my text history. to when you were on vacation. Let's make sure it's the weekend and I'm at a baseball game, and make sure we get that episode uploaded in time.
Oh gosh, yeah, that's the other thing about technology. There's a paper trail. So I found myself, I'm just going to go back to what I was saying. I'm going to ignore your statement. And I found myself on the way back, I was super cranky. And I was trying to identify, like, am I sad the vacation's over? I'm like, well, it's not like I'm not going to take another one. Am I, you know, I was trying to really do this sort of self-diagnosis and try to understand what in the world is going on with me. I mean, it was a gorgeous day. It was a gorgeous drive. And we'd had a wonderful vacation, but inside I had anxiety and I was cranky. And
this was a car trip.
It was a car trip.
Okay.
And unfortunately for my husband, it was not a short car trip because I was obviously not in my best, most positive sorts.
Okay. When you're sitting, I want details here. Okay. When you were sitting in the passenger seat or driving?
Oh, no, passenger seat.
Okay. When you were sitting in the passenger seat, were you looking down most of the time with something in your hand, or were you looking out the window and enjoying the sights? And
I was forced sightseeing because our relationship is contingent upon not having my appendage in my right hand when we are in the car. See, I have what's called like
an
contained
iPhone.
Yeah, right. I have what's called contained behavioral modification in my spouse. So, and I don't say that in a snarky way because it truly, really helps me a lot because I am addicted to technology and everything that goes along with that. So once I identified that the crankiness was all around, it's just when I was working in a job that was like the Monday through Friday, which for me a job was never a Monday through Friday 9 to 5. It was more like a Monday through Saturday 24/7.
12 to 18.
But I used to, on Sunday nights, I used to get this feeling, and I hadn't had it for a while, and I think that's why it took me a minute to recognize it. But I called it Sunday night-itis, and it was when I would start getting, it was Sunday, it was been a great day, really relaxing, and then Sunday night, boom, I would have like anxiety, and I would feel cranky and like nervous and kind of irritable, and it was all because I started thinking of everything that was on my big to-do platter.
Everything.
For the next week. So, yeah, crazy town.
What were you doing on, let's say, Friday night at 7:44 p.m. while you were on vacation? What should you have been doing?
Probably not texting you about next episode.
7:44. So somewhere between 7 and 7:44, or maybe even before that. So I get a text at 7:44. Friendly reminder. Episode 14 scheduled to run Monday. Let me know when it's on Dropbox.
Okay, that would not be the definition of self-care. That would be the definition of selfishness, because how selfish of me to then impose my lack of being able to relax onto your ability to be engaged with your family at a baseball game and having fun.
And there you go, because at that night, 7:44, you sent that text. That night, 9:59 p.m. On Friday night, I texted you and said, just uploaded it.
I did get that text.
Yes, you did put the pressure on me a little bit. However, if I did not have the means or the time to do it, I would have said,
Don't feel sorry for him. Yeah, don't feel sorry for him. Russ, no issues between the difference of self-care and selfish.
Family comes first, baby.
And I love that about you. And so that is going to have to kind of get me to this little difficult part of the conversation that's going to be difficult for me. But what I sincerely, sincerely hope for everyone else is that they find this to be a very easy exercise. And this is not a takeaway. This is just like real life stuff. But I'm hoping that most people don't have to think about it as hard as I have to think about it. Because during a time, you know, we've talked on other episodes, you know, I've had some ups and downs with the struggle that I have with wanting to work 24/7. And this was a particularly challenging time where I was most definitely using my work to self-medicate anything else that I didn't really want to think about at the time. And so I, you know, consultants consult and we hire consultants to consult us. So I'm sad to say that this was about 10, maybe, I don't know, a long time ago. Too long for me to still be having the issue. Let me just say that. But the long story short of it is that I hired a business coach, and the one thing that she was really focusing on was the fact that I was so wound up in type A. I mean, I'm sure you all can relate because you've been listening to me lately. Mm-hmm. And so what she just asked me this question. I mean, it wasn't even part of the coaching practice. I think she was genuinely either concerned or curious or both. But she said, so Tracy, when you're not working, what is it that you do? And I could not answer the question. And it was really embarrassing, but you're hiring someone for a reason to help you get better, right? So I was honest, and then I was like, I'm really embarrassed to tell you that I when I am with just me and myself, or, you know, or a weekend comes and vacation or whatever, I literally do not know what to do with myself. And so she said, she gave me this suggestion, and I thought it was a really good one, because if you're a novice like me and trying to figure out what self-care means to you, she said for me to write down these these little items of things that I would like to aspire to see as self-care, and like put them in this jar. And then when I couldn't think of something to do and I felt stressful about it, because it's sort of like this cyclical thing that happens, like you start thinking, I need to take care of myself, and then you try to think of something to do to take care of yourself, and then you get stressed because you can't think of anything, and then you beat yourself up because you can't think of anything. It's like this, like I said, crazy town in my head.
It gets me. Let me ask you, I'm just jumping in here. If it gets to a pivotal point where you know you have to take care of yourself and do something, let's just say take 3 hours and go to a spa and get you whatever it is you do with your hair and all that other stuff. Okay. So, how did you, or how do you get to the point where you can go to the spa and enjoy it and not have your mind on your work? Because there's no point in spending the money and spending the time and getting your hair done and enjoying it like you're supposed to enjoy it if you can't enjoy it, because your mind is over there and the now is really not being appreciated.
And I think I appreciate you asking me that question, because it actually made me think of two things. And one is that the spa situation, that is a good one for me. So I'm going to use that one. It, you know, for someone else, it might be taking a hike. For someone else, it might be going to the grocery store and cooking a big meal for 10 people. Although that seems stressful to me, but for some people that is self-care because they love being in the kitchen and chopping and
right.
But taking that time, and here's the reason the spa works for me, because you have to have your phones off and you can't have them with you. So that is, again, it's a containable self-behavior modification.
But how often are you thinking, oh my gosh, I wonder if a text is coming in. Oh my gosh, you know, I wonder if a call is coming in.
Yeah, no, I mean, I have to book a half day because it takes the first part of the day just to decompress. But I can't do that all the time because it is cost prohibitive. And it is, you know, that for a half a day, that's a lengthy period
but
of time.
My question to you is, can you be, you know, laying there getting your whatever it is you get done, and can you enjoy it without thinking about the other?
Okay, well, that is a fair question. And the answer is sometimes, because I can't lie. But if I gear myself up for it, which seems so dramatic and like I'm overthinking this whole thing, but for me, if I'm going to take the time to do and invest the funds and do what you're talking about, then I kind of have to ramp myself up for it being like, I need to make sure the things on my to-do list are moderately scratched off. I need to kind of sell myself on the idea that this is self-care and that I need this for myself and for my business. And then I kind of go in it like a quarterback's prepping for a game. And then I go in there, I'm like, I'm going to win this thing. I'm going to go to the spa, which I know, right? But the last time, so this is where I love the topic of Journey to There with the intersection of personal and business growth, because the last time that I had just finished this huge work project and it was a major success and I was very proud of the accomplishments that were involved in it. And I did that thing where I was like, I've been working so hard. I just really need I need to decompress. I'm going to go to the spa. And my husband, who does not ever usually do this, but I think for whatever reason, he was cranky that day. I was getting ready to leave, and in that moment, he wanted to wash the car. Okay, I don't know why, but that's
because
a critical
part of
the story.
No, I would see, for me, that's like, that's one of the selfish things or the self-help things I do.
That was selfish.
It wasn't selfish.
Well, it was to me, because you can't be late to the spa, because if you're late for your services, they don't extend your services. And I'm not a highly punctual person. I also am embarrassed to admit, but when it comes to my spa appointments and my hair appointments, you cannot be late. And flights. I'm not late to the airport.
Okay.
Those are my like three, whatever they're called, excuses.
And with your husband, when it comes to a clean car, it cannot be dirty.
Right. But I was literally getting in the car to go to the spa
and he pulled out the hose or?
Yes, I'm serious. And so then speaking of snarky, so I was like, I'm going to be late. And then he says to me, oh, I didn't realize you needed to be there at a certain time. I guess that's going to be an X amount, $100 day. And I went, like, it just like hit my heart so hard because guess why? I was talking about women especially. But I mean, first of all, you know, this was my work accomplishment, my celebration. It wasn't impacting him necessarily in any significant way. It was just a snarky comment that he went on about his day and never thought about again. Me, I spend the first hour and a half of a 3-hour spa appointment feeling guilty because he called out the price of it. And I have studied that a lot with my perfectionism, and I am not going to let that happen to me again. I vow here today on Journey to There, episode 15, that is not going to happen to me again.
Okay, I'm no marriage counselor, but but when it comes to cleaning my car, that is a celebration for me. Like, the spa is a celebration for you. I don't know if
they collide at the same time with Elaine trying to do her self-care.
No, but in this case, I would say take your car and drive yourself.
It was my car. I was trying to take myself. Okay, so this is the battle of self-care.
So he was trying to clean.
Self-care.
So wait a minute. This yes! This nice guy was trying to do you a favor and clean your car.
I did not see it that way.
Not only were you getting a spa day, but you were getting a car wash from your husband.
Oh my God, Russ. I'm so mortified. I seriously didn't think of it that way until right this
Here
now.
I am, dear, washing your car and you're yelling
oh
at me.
Oh my God. Okay. Which reminds me of our on topic of something I really wanted to say today, and now is probably a good time for that, is
that you're sorry?
That too. The key to healthy selfishness in business and in life is being self-focused instead of self-involved. Shall I repeat that? The key to healthy selfishness in business and in life is to be self-focused instead of self-involved. Clearly, I was self-involved that day, and thank you for shooting me straight. And I think it's good that you just started out with the BFF, because I'm just going to kind of like head my husband off this episode,
all right, yeah,
at all possible.
Your husband owes me one on this one. All right, I want you sent me a link to an article. Can I name it, right? Fast Company.
Oh my gosh, yes, because I love, love, love this company, and I just discovered them this morning.
Listen,
and I think they go so well with our topic today.
I had subscribed to the magazine for a while. Fast Company is great, especially for entrepreneurs. And you sent me this link. And before we went on the show, we were just talking about what the topic was, and I was, you know, talking about selfish, and you were talking about self. And the two do intertwine. And I just want to, are you able to put this, a link to this on the website? Is there any?
Yes, it will be
no
on
issues
our show,
with that?
Absolutely. It'll be on our show notes on the website. And
okay.
So you'll be able to click directly to it.
But some of the things that stand out here is the headline is 4 reasons why being selfish is good for you. Now, mind you, growing up, we were always taught that selfish is a bad thing.
Yeah, it's
because
like a bad
word. Because when we were growing up, you know, we would have our bag of Oreos at lunch in the cafeteria, and you didn't want to share them. You wanted to be selfish. You wanted to eat all of the Oreos. But being selfish, this is how being selfish can be a good thing. But the 4 points are, and you can expand on this if you want. You'll be healthier. I think you'll be healthier mentally and physically. Number 2, you'll have an advantage when it comes to leadership roles, which, I mean, this is all about business here. Number 3, you'll have better relationships. And when I read that headline, I'm thinking better personal relationships as well as business relationships. And number 4, you'll be happier. Now, I'm not saying to go all out and just be some selfish pig, but have some balance. But yet you do have to be selfish in many ways when it comes to the intersection between your business and personal growth.
And I think, you know, going back to what you said about people perceiving selfish as a bad word, it actually can mean 2 different things. So you've got that component of being selfish in a way that you're unkind or inconsiderate of others and only thinking, you know, just past, you know, right up to the end of your nose and no further. But then there's also this whole idea of being selfish, which is defined by taking responsibility. And I think that's one of the most important things that we can talk about today, is that it is your responsibility to be selfish, to take care of your personal, emotional, and physical needs and make sure that they're met. And, you know, really, that's actually an important part of just being a grown-up. And it's not something that makes you a martyr. It's not something that you need to stand on a pedestal and shout out to the world everything that you do for that in that way for yourself and for others. But it's just the whole idea of making sure that you take care of yourself in ways that work for you. And that's what I was going to say, is that this is the important thing that I really wanted to reiterate, is that self-care can be defined by so many different ways and outlets. And in business, which I loved about what you brought up, was that being selfish in business can actually be an advantage. And what I mean by that is that typically people who, not self-involved, but self-focused, like we talked about, there's a difference. The people who are self-focused in business have a tendency to come across as more confident, and they're also less likely to give up on their goals. And that obviously leads to an enormous drive to succeed. And in that way, selfish is not a bad word.
Now, before we wrap up with Tracy's takeaways, it often comes back in my mind. Several episodes back, we talked about selfies. You were mentioning something within the topic about
the fact that I hate taking them off myself.
No, even further back, we were talking about how so many people are taking selfies, and it's like I'm thinking to myself, Tracy needs to take a lesson from all of these people that take selfies, because look at the name. It's called selfies. And
right?
There's so many people taking selfies because they've got
because they're having fun.
and they've got confidence, because those pictures are gonna end up all over their social media.
Oh my God. They know it.
And there they are. They're holding up the phone and taking that selfie, and it's like, you know, you go, girl, or you go, boy. And Tracy probably takes the fewest selfies ever.
Because how interesting would it be for me to, hey, here's me at my desk. Hey, here's me when I move from my desk to my chair. Hey, I'm working outside at the table. Selfie, selfie, selfie. I'm not doing anything fun. I finally figured it out. This is why I don't like selfies, because I'm jealous of the people who are having the fun taking
but
them.
Most
and
of those,
I don't have anything to shoot
most
but
of those,
myself.
Most of those people are having more fun in the photo than they're actually having fun in the surroundings that they're in.
I need to switch my perspective, though, because it is all about perspective. So my perspective now on selfies has shifted, thank you, Russ, and that now when I look at people doing selfies and posting selfies, I'm going to look at what it is that they're doing, and I'm going to put that in my idea jar that I was talking about earlier from my business coach, that when you get stressed out and you need to find something that you want to do to pull something out of the jar. So see, this is all coming full circle now. But I do want to circle back to something, though, because that company that you were starting to talk about, and I probably interrupted you.
Which company?
The company that was featured in the Fast Company article.
Oh, I didn't even look at the company. I was just looking at the
Oh,
the,
so you were just talking about Fast Company, and I was talking about the company featured in Fast Company. Oh, see, guys, sometimes
we
make it complicated when it doesn't need to be.
I was impressed with the highlights.
With the highlights. Okay, well, I'm very impressed with this particular business that was featured in that article, because to me, they brought it all home with the integration of the personal and the business message around self-care. And they named, I think it's a male and a female. They might be a couple. I'm not sure. You can look it up through the link that we share. But the name of their business is called Wear Your Label. And their whole model and their whole vision and their whole purpose is to create t-shirts that have these messages that speak to you. And so they literally have a t-shirt that says, self-care is not selfish. And that is something that they feel like is a message that needs to be sent out to the world, as do we. That's why one of the reasons why we're doing this episode. Mm-hmm. But what I love about them is that, so, you know, when you're selling apparel, you have to have models that, you know, model the shirts and things like that. But they go at this in two ways. They go at it from the personal approach because they say that when someone wears a message like that, self-care is not selfish, that it makes the person who's wearing it feel more empowered and more confident when they are actually putting that out there to the world. And it's real. Each of their pieces are designed that they're internally focused on having self-care in mind. So mm-hmm. this is an entire business who's very successful, whose purpose and mission is driven so that people can become internally focused with self-care in mind. And they use models that aren't the models like you would typically think of. I'm sure you're thinking of Victoria's Secrets right now, Russ.
No,
but
they
use models that they cast. They call them role models instead of models. And they pull people with personal stories of how they've overcome the different obstacles that the message of their t-shirt says. And I'm just in love with this company. I just found out about them today. But I am definitely going to go online and get a self-care is not selfish t-shirt. And then I'm going to stand in the mirror like we talked on one of our previous episodes. And I'm going to look myself in the mirror and I'm going to try to read it backwards.
With all the quotes that Tracy has on all these episodes, she's going to have a whole wardrobe full of t-shirts.
I know, but I'm thinking that everybody's got to have their niche of branding. I think my niche is going to be that it's going to be written backwards so that when you do look in the mirror, you can read it.
That's a good idea. See, now the thousands or hundreds of thousands or however many people are listening, they're going to take your idea and they're going to make millions off of it.
Hey, go for it. Competition makes us all better. I'm all about entrepreneurship. Go build it. Tell me how it turns out for you.
So what's your biggest takeaway from this?
Oh, well, my biggest takeaway is a really, really, truly, sometimes I say it simple and I make it complicated, but this one is
no,
truly.
No, not Tracy doesn't make simple things complicated.
Well, I can, but when it comes to my takeaways, I like to get real literal so people can actually utilize them. And that is, this one's super simple, two letters, and it's about the word no. And a dear friend and mentor of mine told me several years ago when I was struggling with boundaries and things like that, they said, Tracy, you do realize that no is a complete sentence. And I was like, yeah. What? And they were like, no is a complete sentence. Like, you do not have to explain why you can't show up, why you have to do this, why can't you do this, why can't you be on the board or the PTA president? You just simply decline and say no. And that was a huge aha for me because, Southern female and just codependent as you know what, not anymore, but was. And the word no was really hard for me. So that is my first step in self-care, is really sitting back and going, okay, is this good for me, yes or no? And if it's no, then speak my truth and say no. And then also, you know, my very last takeaway, because, you know, I love my mottos. And
Here we go. <laughs> And
I love vintage stores, which is where I find a lot of my good mottos, because clearly they had it going on back then. So when I was gone, I saw this, you know, those old signs like you see like in a Cracker Barrel or something like that, those like old vintage looking road signs. Yeah. Well, this was an old advertisement sign on a piece of metal that was hanging up in a store. And it said, I can only please one person per day. Today, I choose me.
Ah, okay. So no customers are going to be handled that day.
Well, no, because if I choose me, then all my customers will be handled very healthy way.
There you go. That's true.
Instead of me texting you at 7:45 on a Friday night.
Exactly. Hey, keep the comments and suggestions coming in through the website at journeytothere.com. Let us know what kind of topics you want to hear about. Like Tracy was saying, no is a complete sentence. What about yes is a complete sentence? That would be a good one.
Yes.
That was four sentences right there. I think that was four. So you can actually spark a topic on an upcoming show. That's journeytothere.com. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast. Leave us a rating only if it's 5 stars. Along with Tracy DeForge, I'm Russ Reba, and hopefully I'm not going to be getting a text tonight at 9 o'clock regarding something in this episode Tracy wants to talk about.
No, you won't. You won't at all.
Tell you what I won't be doing. I won't be washing your car anytime soon.
We hope you've enjoyed today's journey, and we invite you to visit journeytothere.com to download full episodes, find show notes, and connect with us by signing up for our newsletter. We want to hear from you. Give us feedback or ask any questions by clicking or tapping Contact Us. That's journeytothere.com.